Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. Make sure you check out my website, Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuddle.net. When you go there, you're going to be able to find every single place you'll be able to find me online. Now, the most important address that you need to know is Tuttle.net/vote. Tuttle.net/vote is going to take you directly how you can vote for me for the Orlando Weekly Best of Orlando, Best of Podcasts, not on the radio. I know that is a big-ass tongue twister, but you know what, guys? Let's shock the world. Let's fucking shock the world. Listen, I love A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. Those guys are the big swinging dicks when it comes to podcasting in the Orlando area. So yeah, of course, they're going to win it. But let's try to be the Cinderella story. So go to Tuttle.net/vote. Want to talk about yesterday. Yesterday was a very, very interesting day for me. You guys know that I just recently lost my father. I lost my pops, Gerald Wayne Fowler. You know, love the man to death. I've been dealing with this pretty well, I think, in general. I thought that I would have a lot more tougher time with this, but I gotta admit, man, Father's Day fucking sucked. Father's Day was so fucking horrible that, you know, it brought up a lot of memories, people, and, you know, it made me think about how Father's Day does not get enough attention than Mother's Day does. You know, if you forget about Mother's Day, oh man, look the fuck out. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cry like a bitch, but it is true. Like, there is a big double standard when it comes to men and women. If you forget Mother's Day, oh man, it is bad news for you. It's bad news for the kids. It's bad news for everybody all around. But if you forget Father's Day, it's not a big deal. Because you want to know why? You probably just saved a bunch of money on some shitty ass gifts that you're going to get your dad. But with mom, though, mom needs everything. Mom needs breakfast in bed. Mom needs a great present. Mom needs a card. Mom needs a flower. Flowers. Mom needs every single thing. Dads get the raw end of the deal. And, you know, losing my pops so close to Father's Day, it really, really fucking sucked, man. Like, I thought that I was over a lot of this stuff. But I really, really was not. I really wasn't. You know, it is the little bitty things that you think that you're over with and you're not. Like, me and my dad watched a lot of NASCAR racing. Yeah, I mean, it was the first time in like decades since the NASCAR series had been racing in Nashville. And I didn't get to share that with my dad. And I know that a lot of people, you know, we all have to go through this. So please do not think that I think that I'm somebody special because I'm not. I really, really am. I'm not special at all. But it fucking sucks, people. I hope that this gets better. I know that it will get better. It's got to be. Because I don't understand how anybody could deal with this type of torture. So yeah, I hope and pray that it does get better. I really, really do. All right, so I am currently outside. I'm sitting underneath the tree that myself, my mom, my dad, pretty much where everybody congregated to all the family members that would come over, friends, neighbors, whoever it may be, they would all come out here and sit underneath this tree that is right next to my parents' house. And the great thing about this tree, you know, you guys hear me talk about John Mays all the time, about how much of an asshole that I've had problems with him in the past. He has actually been really, really cool. But his wife, you know, a lot of people don't realize this is John Mays. John Mays really does not own this park. It was the family that he was married into that owns this park. And one of the things that his widow or his widower, I don't know what you call it, with when the one that dies, but she always said, you know, listen, I don't give a fuck what goes on, but you're not cutting down this tree, John. This tree means a lot. This tree is where a lot of people congregated. This tree was like a place where people broke bread and made friendships with each other. So no, you're never, ever, ever going to get rid of this tree. But I'm sitting underneath this tree right now. It is early in the morning and the water has been very, very glassy as of late. And, you know, I did some fishing yesterday, but I'm going to start doing some more fishing. My dad loved fishing. You know, one of the things that I was the proudest about was, you know, whenever I was back here and I was fishing at night, during the pandemic, I would catch a fish. I'd bring it in and be like, Dad, look at this fish. What is this? You know, sometimes I would end up catching fish that I didn't even know what the hell it was. Like a ladyfish, a snook, a trout. I learned pretty much everything from my dad when it came to fishing. And I would bring it in. He'd be in here watching TV. I'd bring the fish inside the house. It was like one of my favorite things in the world. So I want to start doing a little bit more fishing. I talked to my buddy Fish on Jay, Jason, Big Bubba Army person. We're going to work together on getting my dad's boat. My dad's flats boat with the tunnel hole, jack plate, damn power pole. It pretty much has everything on it. It is the perfect boat that you want to have when you go out in the flats to be able to go out and redfish. So Fish on Jay is going to help me with that. I thought that might be just one of the best ways to honor him. Going to put it up there. Going to put it up there as the Gerald W. Fowler, Gerald Wayne Fowler, kind of as a homage to my pops. I miss you. I know you do not know. You know what? I'm not even going to get into it, but I hope that I made you proud. I really, really do. And I miss you a lot. And we're going to get into some fun stuff. I really, really do promise you. It's just today and yesterday, with it being Father's Day, it's just been a little rough.
So if you didn't get a chance to catch it this past weekend, I was actually on two separate different podcasts. Actually, two podcasts that I'm actually going to be competing against, when it comes to the Best of Orlando, Orlando Weekly's Best of Podcasts, not on the radio. I was actually on Funny to Informing show on Saturday night. That will be airing sometime this week. I think I was on with them for about an hour and a half. And then on Friday, when I was going to DeLand to hang out with my friend Addie, I ended up having Tom and Dan call me. Now, Tom and Dan, I was just on their show, and they actually have a bit that they want me to do. Now, if you've been listening to my radio career for any amount of time, you know that I do a lot of these endurance-type stunts, kind of like what David Blaine does. I was buried alive in a concrete tomb for a little over 48 hours. I walked across the state of Florida all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico, only walking down Highway 50 that goes through Orlando and then just goes all the way over. I think I made it to a place called Coogler's Beach. I started from Merritt Island. That took me 2 days to do. So they want me to take one of those big floaty, like, tricycle bike things that you can, like, rent at any of these resorts and stuff. And they want me to start at the beginning of the St. John's River. And then I am going to actually go up the St. John's River on this little tricycle thing. Now, a lot of people are telling me, oh, do you know how long that's going to take you? Do you know how tired you're going to be? Listen, I think about all these things. Is it doable? Yes, it is very, very doable. They're going to have a houseboat that is going to be, like, following behind me. And people are like, oh, you're going to get tired. No. Hello? The St. John's River flows north. So it's not like I am going to be, like, having to go against current. I'm not going to have to go against all that stuff. So even if I get tired, I just let that bitch float. I just got to be able to navigate through the twists and turns that is known as the St. John's River, network system. And it's going to pay me pretty well, a couple grand. I think this is great cross-promotion for my show and their show, and I think that this could be something very, very huge. So I will keep you up to date and abreast of all the details. I've always wanted to say abreast on my show, but I'll keep you updated on all that stuff. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
It's time for the Orlando Weekly Best of 2021.
Right you are, Amy, and we need your help.
Wait, you need my help?
No, the listener's help.
Oh, the Tuttle Daily Podcast listener's help. Apologies, I thought you meant... anyway.
Okay, thanks, Amy. Yes, fans, that's right. Our boy has been nominated for Orlando Weekly's Best Orlando Podcast.
And what a journey it's been for Tuttle, from the pinnacles of terrestrial radio and having various instruments inserted into his rectum to making an attempt at rebuilding his broadcasting career by starting a podcast with nothing more than an iPhone 7 in a late model PT Cruiser.
Look, being nominated for Orlando Weekly's Best of 2021 Podcast hasn't been easy. Sure, the other nominees have fancy stuff like studios with chairs and air conditioning, actual microphones, reliable Wi-Fi, running water.
The point is this, Josh. Our guy Tuttle is back on the air and needs your help to push him over the finish line and into the graces of Orlando audio royalty.
Indeed, Amy. You can vote at tuttle.net/vote.
Let's show the people that Tuttle is back and here to stay. Again, vote for the Tuttle Daily Podcast at tuttle.net/vote.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is an interview that I've been looking forward to for quite some time.
here in the state of Florida, we got a lot of the motocross here. I grew up in Daytona Beach, and one of the greatest things is the Daytona motocross event that they do right there in the tri-oval of Daytona International Speedway. Daytona International Speedway, a lot of people think that, oh, well, you know, it's just a racetrack. I don't think a lot of people realize what Daytona International Speedway means to just motocross, sports cars, NASCAR, whatever it may be. But my next guest, Thomas Asuna, is a motocross, motorbike type aficionado. Thomas, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful, man. So, like, what have you been up to, man? You know, with the pandemic last year, I'm sure that it kind of threw you guys off a little bit when it came to doing your sport, correct?
Oh, yeah. We had, even though it's outdoors, we had a bunch of venues that closed for quite some time, actually, and only opened up, I don't know, towards the end of summer. And now they've been open for almost a year, but yeah, they were closed for quite a bit.
Now, Thomas, tell me though, what was your childhood like? Okay. Because with motocross, it's like any other sport. You know, a lot of people look at like people that are into stock cars, racing, motocross. They think that, oh, you're using a piece of machinery, and I consider you guys athletes. You are athletes. What do you have to say to the people that say that people that ride bikes or race stock cars or race Formula One or race Indy or race just anything on dirt? What do you say to those people that say that you guys are not athletes?
Just, I mean, take the entire physical, I guess, standpoint out of it. Even if you're driving a car, the mental capacity you need to have is that alone will make you an athlete. If you look into some of the training that, say, like the Formula One drivers do, just the visualization, virtual training they do, that weighs on you. It's tough to just sit in your office chair and virtually train your body to drive a Formula One car.
Now, do you know much about Jimmy Johnson? You know, Jimmy Johnson was a dirt bike rider for quite a while before he got into NASCAR. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. So growing up, my dad was a big NASCAR fan. So I grew up, I'm 27. So I grew up right when he was kind of in the middle of his role, and when I stopped watching, he was kind of getting towards the end of his career. But yeah, I know him pretty well.
A lot of people don't realize that, though, that Jimmy was a dirt bike rider before he got into that. And you know, the guy rides bicycles all the time. He does triathlons. He constantly stays in shape. A lot of these people that think that, you know, because you're sitting in a car, you don't have to be physically in shape. But wearing all of that equipment in a hot ass car, I know you guys being on motorcycles and stuff, but it still takes a toll on your body, right? I mean, give me an idea of some of the training and stuff that you have to do that's not just practicing on the motorcycles.
Yeah, I mean, on the bike, that's its own set of skills and techniques that you need to have in your back pocket at all times. But off the bike, it's a lot of the same general, like lifting kind of for strength, because you need to be really strong to keep that 230, 250 pound machine between your legs and not on top of you.
What kind of CCs are you running? Just to get people, like, if you could give me an idea, you know, people talk about CCs and stuff, like the top of the line when you guys are running motocross and stuff like that. And you do run motocross, right? Or are you doing like tricks and stuff?
Oh no, I've never hit a ramp. It seems fun and scary at the same time, but yep, I just stick to dirt.
Now, okay, so what type of, like, give me horsepower CC that you guys are running when you guys are running this type of stuff?
Oh, geez, I don't know too much on, like, the horsepower specs. I'd really have to pull up the Google spec sheet of my bike. But me, my personal dirt bike is a 250cc four-stroke. That's, I guess some would call it a little bike, but it's anything but. So there's, as far as like the big adult size dirt bikes, the big bikes go, there's a 125, a 254 stroke, and a 454 stroke. And the 454 stroke, that's a lot of grunt. That'll take you anywhere you want to go. And then any wrong move will put you on your head.
All right. So let me ask you this. So because I follow NASCAR a lot, okay? And you got to be gentle with the throttle, because if you hit the throttle too much, you're going to spin the tires. You're going to get loose. Is that something you guys have to deal with when you're doing motocross? Like, do you have to be gentle with the accelerator?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a bunch more factors to dirt bikes as far as, like, one, you don't have a roll cage, so any move you make on the throttle has to be, I guess, sort of calculated, because say the track is super tacky and you just wick the throttle wide open.
By tacky, you mean kind of like clay, right? Because a lot of people don't understand, you know, what you mean by tacky. Tacky, yeah. Is like, you know, it's kind of clay almost, like.
Yeah, by tacky, I mean grippy. Really, you're not going to get much wheel spin. So you're any little move you make on the throttle the tire's going to grip, and it's going to bite, and it's going to give you the forward drive that you want. But say you have in the corners, there's ruts, and you put both your tires in those ruts, and then you wick the throttle wide open. So when you're leaned over and you put the throttle wide open, it'll stand you back up and fling you to the outside of the bike, and that's no good.
Now let me ask you this. So a lot of people don't realize this, because I watch a lot of dirt track car racing, and a lot of people don't realize this, is that rubber actually gets laid down on dirt, clay, all that type of stuff. Does that happen in motocross? Does rubber get laid down onto the track at all, or does that not happen in motocross?
Yeah, it does. It also depends on, like, what type of dirt. So, like you said, a lot of the dirt track two-wheel, like flat track stuff, they actually have a hard pack clay, so they lay rubber down. We have locally a couple tracks that are really soft dirt, so you are never going to lay rubber down in that dirt. But
it's, if it's impacted, like if it's packed down, you will lay some rubber down.
Yep. Yeah, there's a track 2 hours south of here, the Washougal. That's the national circuit track. It's a pretty hard packed base, so later in the day you will get what's called blue groove, and that's just rubber laying down on the dirt itself.
See, I don't think a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of people just watch it for what it is, and they like, oh, it's just a bunch of manly men. They're just running around the track. There's no, like, finesse to it. There's no, like, planning. There's no, like, scouting. But, like, I try to tell people that there is, though. There is a science to it. It's just not about being, oh, I'm that dude that just doesn't give a damn, and I'm going to just go, like, balls to the wall. I'm going to Talladega mat it. And by Talladega mat it means by just pinning the throttle all the way down. But there is some finesse to it, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say 80% of it is smooth and controlled. You got a 20%-ish window of, yeah, it's going to get a little wild, but you always have to be on point. I was talking with Brad Gebhardt on Big MX Radio, and I forget the saying that he used, but it was, you have to, I think it was like, you have to have the strength of an Olympic athlete, the poise of a gunfighter, and there was one other point to that, but yeah, you have to be strong physically and mentally, and you have to be calm under pressure. So every move you make should be calculated and smooth.
Now, a lot of people don't realize this, is when you guys go into those like slaloms, do they call them slaloms for you guys? Like, you know, where you guys are hitting the, like the little humps, you know, like when you guys are hitting, what do they call those? I mean, they're not slaloms, because I think like when you think of slaloms, you think of skiers where there's a hill on the left, the right, and they go back and forth. What do they mm-hmm. what do they call those, like little, just like not the big jumps, but the ones where it's just like, buh, 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 it's like a bunch of speed bumps.
So there's actually a couple different types of them. The main ones that I think you're talking about are the whoops, and those mostly only come in like a supercross setting. And those are, I want to say they're like 4 feet tall and eight-ish feet apart. And I've never hit a traditional set of supercross whoops because I've never actually had like a supercross track that I've been able to access living up here in Washington. There's not many.
So you've never raced Daytona before. Would you? I mean, everybody says that Daytona, that the track, because I think Ricky Carmichael is the one that has a lot to do with the design of the one that they have here in Daytona.
I've never raced the Daytona track. I would really like to. It's quite a trek for me, but I would really like to be able to make a plan to get out there. Oh, I know that
it's so fun, man. I've never done it, but it is so fun. And I remember one year they had a lot of rain, and I don't know if you've run like a really muddy track, but it was just a sight to see, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the one you're talking about is possibly like 07, 08.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It was bad. It was just muddy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I mean, up here in Washington, for not today, but a lot of the months out of the year, it rains. So that's a lot of the riding we get. So
let me ask you though, when you get muddy days like that, how many tearaways are you wearing? Like, are you wearing goggles that you can just, because, okay, like for example, a lot of people watch the Kentucky Derby and stuff, all right, and they see the people, they got like 10 or 11 pair of goggles on, and they just pull the goggles down as they go. Are you using tearaways, or are you just using a bunch of goggles and you're pulling down if it's getting too muddy?
It really depends on the person. Me personally, I've tried what's called roll-offs, and it's just two canisters on each end of your goggles, and you pull like this, it's basically a retractable string that pulls clear film over your eyes, across the goggles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those too much, but so I will run the tear-offs in any condition. And as far as like how many you're running, it really depends on how long of a moto you're putting in, how long you're going to be out on the track. So, and how many people you plan on, or your, how many people you're going to be behind, right? So me, I'll run 5 to 10. Just typically the motos aren't terribly long here. Mm-hmm. If you're racing, say, like the Pro National that's going to be here in a little over a month, I believe, at Washougal, they're running 30 minute plus two, and they're going to run 50 plus tear-offs on their goggles.
Yeah. Hey, so another question I wanted to ask you, with the Olympics coming up right now, okay, you know, skateboarding is going to be in the Olympics for the first time in the Olympics. Okay, so you're going to have skateboarding. Mm-hmm. Nobody in a million years would have thought like skateboarding would be a part of the Olympics. I mean, could you see one day like motocross being a part of the Olympic sports? Because I really, really think that it would be absolutely badass if motocross was a part of the Olympics.
It would be awesome. I could see it. I mean, me obviously being a lifelong fan of the sport, right? I'm like, Olympics needs this, and like the motocross industry needs this just to get more recognition. But they sort of have their own kind of Olympics of as far as like
X Games.
Each country. Well, they have X Games, and then they run Motocross of Nations, where each country kind of puts together a three rider team.
And so what is more prestigious, X Games? What is more prestigious, though, the X Games or that one?
Motocross of Nations definitely is. Not too many like out of the U.S. people. I know they're foreign to us, but we're foreign to them. Mm-hmm. Not too many world motocross athletes would go into X Games and do it. As far as like the motocross of nations, you have every single nation that it has the money and funds available will put together a national team, and they will all go to whatever track that circulates throughout the world. And every nation will put their three rider team at that track, and they will have basically an Olympic style, an Olympic scored race.
All right. Well, I have you on right now. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Tell people how they can check you out. Tell people how they can follow you on social media, your website, whatever it may be. Give just the floor is yours to be able to just self-promote your stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, obviously, as you said earlier, my name is Thomas Osuna. I am a nutrition-based performance coach for motocross athletes, dirt bike riders.
Can I stop you? Nutrition-based. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you're riding motorcycles. What does nutrition have to do with it? Like, do you consider yourself a vegan, or are you a just healthy, clean eating type person? Give me an example of what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So me, myself, I actually have like intolerances to gluten and dairy.
Gluten is a big thing. Like, can you give me an example? Everybody hears about gluten, but like, what does gluten do to you when you eat gluten?
To me, it obviously depends on the source and where it comes from, where it's grown, how it's grown. Because I can eat like a local organic something, wheat, and I'm usually to the lower end of how it affects me. But yeah, typically, if I eat a typical bagel, I'll get a stomach ache. And it's not just like a gurgle stomach ache, I'll get like stomach pains.
So I hear you know
I'll
what I can't you know
super
what I'll,
bloated.
I'll get out there. You're talking explosive diarrhea, because I've had that before as well too. So like I'll get into it. I'll say what you're not gonna say, but yes, I get it. I get what you're saying, because I think that I might be gluten intolerant as well. You know, I mean, how can people find out if they are allergic to gluten? Is there a way to find out?
There is. There's, what did my wife do? Certain blood tests you can do where it's either a finger prick and you send in a tube and you mail it to this company and they run tests on your blood to see kind of what it reacts to. They also do, I think you can go to an allergist and they'll kind of do little incisions on your back kind of thing and drop little test what's in there and see.
Oh, so it's kind of like one of those allergic reaction tests where they like would poke you with some stuff and they would see like if you like bumped up or whatever. I think that's kind of what we would do back in the day about allergy test.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the easiest, it's a little more expensive, but the easier way with less, I guess, pain, it's kind of uncomfortableness on your part is to get the blood test done. And some companies will send like a phlebotomist to your house and take a couple vials and then they'll just drive it down themselves and get it tested that day. And they'll mail you a packet of like red, yellow, and green zones.
Yeah.
They might even have one other zone, but yeah, they run this whole panel and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, last couple of questions I have. Okay. So like out of your career right now, what is the highlight? What is the one race that you've maybe won or something that you have done that is like the thing that you are the most proud of?
Oh, geez. I don't know.
I'm not trying to pitch you in a tough situation. Like for example, I just recently lost my father. My father died about 2 weeks ago. And you know, like I just got nominated here locally, even though that it's not a big deal, but here in the Central Florida area, I got nominated for best podcast in the Central Florida area. Okay. That covers like Orlando, Tampa, you know, the East Coast of Florida. And, you know, I wish my dad would have been around to be able to see me do that because my dad had his own business. He grew it. And it's kind of what I'm doing. Like, what is the one thing that you're the proudest of when it comes to your career?
Geez, racing. I mean, I got a top 10 a while back in a pretty stacked class. So that was fun. That was good to come home with a top 10. I don't know, as time gets on, I haven't raced too much in the past few years.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, haven't had a whole lot of time to get out and race. But yeah, as far as riding, the top 10 was cool out of 40 plus people on the gate. That was awesome.
Who's the one guy that you've met that you were kind of like a little starstruck by?
I've met quite a few people. Let's see.
In the sport. I'm not talking like celebrities, but I'm talking in the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met Big James is his name. He was just a cool guy. James Stewart's dad, met him in the pits a while back. One of the local guys too, actually local brothers, Josh and Justin Hill, they're pretty cool.
Are they Florida guys?
No, they're from Yonkala, Oregon.
See, there are some brothers that I know. Now, what's your thoughts on a guy like Travis Pastrana, though?
What do you mean? What are my thoughts?
I mean, him doing what he does on motorcycles, dirt bikes and stuff. Like, the guy just seems like he has no fear at all.
Yeah, he doesn't at all. It's crazy. I mean, to sum it up in one word, I guess you could call it a pioneer because he just does what nobody else is willing to do.
I mean, the double backflip is like the thing that everybody talks about. I mean, it's just like Tony Hawk hitting the, I forget like what he hit. He was like the first one to hit like a fucking, I think like a 8-6, I don't even know what he hit, but everybody makes a big thing about that. You know, you all have those pioneers in the sport, you know, because what you guys do is not, a lot of people don't consider them sports. And I think that's complete, absolute bullshit, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. because it is. I mean, you guys do things on a daily basis that a lot of athletes would not have the balls to be able to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it isn't just like most people think, sitting down and twisting the throttle, right? The amount of strength you have to have, the amount of conditioning you need to have, and the
no
amount
fear,
of
just going
mental
for it.
Strength.
Just going
yeah,
for
no
it.
Fear. The mental strength you need to have is just it has to be on point, otherwise you could get hurt or
what
worse.
What is the worst injury you've had?
The worst injury I've had, luckily, I don't think I've broken anything, at least to my knowledge, from riding, but just a little over a month ago, I had this stupid little crash where I was just riding and they had just brought in new dirt to this track. So it was super soft and super deep. And I just kind of came around this corner going pretty slow, actually, and came around this corner and my front tire got kind of swallowed up in all this deep dirt. And it actually sent me over the bars and sent the bike up over on top of me, kind of chasing after me too. And I ended up kind of burying my shoulder and like the side of my head into the ground. And the bike came down kind of, since I was like ass up, the bike came down right on my ass and kind of pile drove me crooked and popped a little bit of the back out of place and messed up some ribs. So I was kind of crooked and unable to move. I still kind of have a little cartilage all out of place, but that's the worst recent one for sure.
Hey, Thomas, last question. I promise you this. What is it like being in the starting gate? Like when you make a final for a race, how many racers are in the starting gate with you guys?
It really depends on the class.
Average, Joe, just give me an idea. Like, you know, like on average, what is the amount of people there in the starting gate lined up next to you?
On average, I would say probably somewhere between 15 and 25.
Ooh. Now,
and that's a small gate.
What is that like waiting for that do, you know, when that gate finally drops and all of you guys are all going for the same piece of reality, you know, like how is that? Walk me through that. What is that like?
Well, you know, if you're on one side, you're really nervous.
What starting spot are you wanting? Are you wanting in the middle? Are you wanting the like closest to the inside? Like what are you wanting as a racer?
For me, it depends on kind of the condition of the rut coming out of the gate and where that particular gate is compared to the first turn. So like I'm always going to kind of fade a little bit to the inside and I want the straightest shot to the first turn. But I also don't want a rut that in front of the gate that's not straight.
Let me ask you though, do you guys diamond the corners kind of like you see NASCAR guys do? Kind of go in wide, hit it, and then drift out. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I mean by kind of like diamonding the corners?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how you're kind of taught how to do it. Not all ruts obviously will line up exactly like that, but yeah, make the corner as smooth as possible. You don't want to come in and then just turn just the corner and then go. You want to kind of come in wide, just like NASCAR, come in wide, set it up, hit the inside and then kind of fade out. So it's nice, smooth, and it kind of straightens it out as much as possible.
All right, Thomas, tell people once again how they can find you. I really, really enjoyed this interview and I cannot thank you enough.
Oh yeah, they can find me Instagram at Thomas Osuna and on Facebook, same thing, Thomas Osuna. I'm not running a business page. Everything just runs through my own personal streams. Give it a follow. Maybe you'll learn something about how to feel your body and up your mental and physical performance.
All right. Hey, Thomas, I want to talk to you off the air, man, because like I've been trying to get in shape and trying to, you know, better myself physically and stuff. So I would like to like talk to you one-on-one if you ever are up to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not a problem. Let's schedule something.
All right, Thomas, I hope you have a wonderful day, man. And I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Last segment of today's show. Make sure you go to Tuttle.net/vote. Vote for me for Best of Orlando Podcast, not on the radio, for Orlando Weekly's Best of. It's a competition that they do every single year. That is Tuttle.net/vote. A couple of weeks ago, I actually talked about the story. You guys know that I'm not the biggest fan of Ron DeSantis, but he ended up signing into legislation not allowing men who that are transgender, that have transgendered into women, to be able to compete in women's sport. Now, I got to cover my ass here, but I support transgender people. I support their rights. I support them being able to do what they want to do. I think they should be able to adopt kids. I think they should be able to marry. I think they should be able to do everything except compete in a female sport. Men are stronger than women. I'm not being chauvinistic, not being a like male masculine he-man type guy, you know, that hates women, that thinks men are the best, number one. No, not at all. But it is the truth. It is scientific fact. For the most part, men are stronger than women. Now, there are some women out there that are stronger than men. I will almost guarantee you that there are women out there that are stronger than me. But for the most part, men are stronger. Now, do I think it's fair? The reason that I don't think it's fair, because are we willing to go to the point where we're able to, where, you know what, fuck the, and I'm not saying real women, because transgender are women. In my mind, they are women. In their mind, I recognize them as women. But I'm talking about the people that are born actual women, not women born inside of a man's body. These women are getting treated poorly because transgender men who are now women want to compete in women's sports. It is not fair. It is not cool at all. How many women are going to lose scholarships because of a man that is transgender and now is a woman took that spot from her? It's not fair. But I'm going to play you a piece of audio, because there is this transgender person, I was going to say dude, but chick, it's a woman, that is weightlifting and is going to be competing in Tokyo in the 2021 Olympics. And as an American woman, well, I'm not an American woman, that sounded weird, but I don't think this is fair to our American women. It's not that they're going to have to compete against this Kiwi. And I was debating on saying Kiwi, because I think Kiwi could be a racial slur, but they actually use the word Kiwi in the story, so I don't think that it is. But here, just listen to this interview and tell me if you think this person should be competing against women.
Laurel Hubbard, congratulations on your amazing achievement. Can you tell us first, how was the experience in California?
Oh, look, it was pretty overwhelming. It was pretty well-organized competition.
Come on, people. This person doesn't even seem like it's even started. Well, this person.
What is the technical term? Like, when you're in transition, like, what do you say? Do you say her? Right? And please, don't get me wrong. Listen, one of my very, very good friends, I know this sounds like one of those things, I got plenty of black friends, but no, that's not the case. One of the first people that I've ever interned with in radio when I started back at 93.1 WKRO in 98.99 was transgender. I still talk to her all the time. We're friends on social media. So, like I said, I have no problem with transgender people. I wish them nothing but the best. Matter of fact, I support everything they do except being able to play women's sports. But you can't tell me that this person has even taken any of the hormones. I mean, the dude's got a deeper voice, a deeper booming voice than the guy that's actually doing the fucking interview.
The American hosts were fantastic. They set up everything perfectly. I felt like I really had the opportunity to lift to my best.
How did you feel being able to end up on the podium?
Extremely honored. I mean, a lot of hard work had gone into getting me to that point.
See, what I mean by not being even on the hormones, this just sounds like a dude trying to do a woman's voice. Like, that's the way that I feel about the whole situation, okay? I would feel a little bit better about men that are wanting to be women, that are transgender, wanting to compete in women's sports, but your dick, balls, all have to be removed. Do you have to have a vagina? No, but a hole will suffice. If there is a hole there, if there is a crevice there, then yes, you should be able to compete. But not if you are just a man acting to be like a woman. You at least need to be on the hormones. You know, you don't have to have boobs or anything like that, but the dick has to be gone for you to be able to compete in female sports. I'm sorry. I hate comparing this to NASCAR. NASCAR has, like, requirements of what the car has to be. Like, you can't just take, you're a Formula One car trapped in a NASCAR's body? Oh, go ahead, compete. Yeah, you know how fair that would be? You can't put a Formula One engine. Well, I don't know how well that would do, like, trying to work something that heavy. But, I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's like, oh, I'm an Indy car trapped inside the body of a NASCAR car. No, that's not how it works, people.
But it's really a dream, I think, for any athlete to contest this sport at the highest level. And so I'm extremely grateful that I was able to do so too.
With everything that had gone on and the scale of the event, mm-hmm. How nervous were you going into this competition?
Oh, look, I think you'd really have to be a robot to not feel nerves.
Yeah, I was so nervous. My balls were all shriveled up.
Because when you're competing at the highest level of your sport, with all of the pressure and expectation that comes with it, I think it's natural for any athlete to feel nerves. I'm sure I wasn't the only one there that was shaking in my boots.
What did you think of all the reaction to you being selected in the New Zealand team, to you competing, all that kind of thing?
Look, to be honest, I try not to think about it because I can't control what other people think, what they feel, what they believe, and it's not my job to tell them what to think, what to feel, or what to believe.
Oh, good. Well, then she just gave me, like, complete, like, go on being able to say what I want to. No, you should not be able to compete with a bunch of women. You're a big fucking man with a probably horse-sized cock getting out there. I don't know. I could be wrong by this whole situation, and I don't want people to think that I'm a bigot because I'm not, but this is absolute complete bullshit. And I'm sorry, the reason I'm saying it is because this person said that I'm allowed to. So you know what? God damn it. I'm a fucking American. I'm going to exercise my First Amendment right. No, this dude, this chick with a dick should not be able to lift. I don't know. Could not have a dick, but I'm telling you, I'm hearing that voice right there. And that sounds like somebody that has not had their dick chopped off.
All I can do is try to lift to the best of my ability and then just let what happens happen.
What would be your message to people out there who are saying, no, Laurel shouldn't be competing?
It's a complex question. Obviously, the policies that are being put forward by organisations like the IOC and the IWF are evolving, and perhaps they may change after I've competed.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have to change it when you break the world record by, like, 200 kilograms. Like, seriously, is anybody thinking about this? Is this, like, the mockery that we're dealing with? I mean, the United States should be boycotting the goddamn Olympics right now, especially the women's team, because I'd be pissed off as a motherfucker if I worked all my life as a woman Probably like Roulon Gardner, like it's some chick that's a dairy farmer that has to be out there carrying calves around as soon as they're born. And as they get bigger, she gets bigger. Like I think some of the women out there, that's what they do. They, as soon as you're born, if there's a baby calf born, they're like, here, honey, we want you to be a weightlifter growing up. Carry this calf around. And as it gets bigger, you're going to get bigger. And that's the whole story about Olympus or whatever his name was. Because that's Greek mythology right there. We're going to give you this calf. As it gets bigger, you're going to get bigger, and then you're going to go win the gold. Oh, no. You mean the Kiwis? They're sending a man? Never mind, honey. Let's go shoot that calf and call it a day.
But I would ask people to keep an open mind and perhaps look to the fact that I didn't win as perhaps the evidence that any advantage I may hold is not as great as they might think.
Whatever. See, and the thing is I'm going to be spun to be the bad guy. I'm going to be the bigot, the homophobe, or whatever it may be. Everybody's going to be on my ass because I said those type of things. But I stand by it. We cannot not. I know that's a double negative, but we cannot just like throw women's rights aside because haven't women worked just as hard? Women couldn't vote. Women couldn't do this. Women couldn't do that for the longest amount of time. So now we're just going to take things back away from them just because we want to let transgenders like actually be able to do stuff. And women's sports? No. Fuck. No. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. So, all right, guys. It's been a long show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with 2Ds.net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
A society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they know they will never sit in. Good people do things for other people. That's it, the end.